We get the microalgae, we grow them in fermenter, and you harvest the oil. As simple as that. And so you get exactly the same source, which is the microalgae, but we avoid all the fishing and all the biodiversity impacts that you have on the oceans.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Corbion's Alga Prime DHA P3, the algae-based omega-3 DHA to boost brain cognition, immune system, and well-being. Adding it to pet food is easier than ever. Biorigin, your partner in yeast ingredients for palatability, immunity, and nutrition. Complete solutions for every pet diet. Learn about the benefits of working with Schooler. Visit schooler.com/pet. That's schooler.com/pet. Young Generation Oral and Gut Health Solutions with antibodies from egg yolk. IGY technology. Research-driven. Pet-approved.
Welcome to the Pet Food Science Podcast, where we will take a deep dive into the science, trends, and innovations shaping the way that we feed our pets. Whether you're a pet owner, an industry professional, or simply interested in learning more about what goes into your pet's diet, this space is for you. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Shoveler, with a background in comparative animal nutrition research, knowledge dissemination, and with a passion for understanding how evidence-based approaches can improve the health and well-being of our pets. On today's podcast, we have Anna Moreau, and we're going to talk about N3 supplements from Corbion, and specifically, we're going to talk about algae-based products. Anna has been with Corbion for over 13 years, working in innovation and sustainability. Currently, she is a scientist in sustainability, leading the implementation of scientific approaches to measure environmental topics and ESG ratings. Credible and transparent sustainability metrics are the basis of the sustainability targets, with growing value in engaging with suppliers and customers to create change. Anna holds a PhD in chemical engineering by the University of Lisbon, Portugal, and has been living in the Netherlands working for Corbion for almost 15 years. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you, Kate. Nice talking to you today.
I'm really excited about everything that you're going to share about not just the nutritional value of algae-based products, but also why you would want to consider them more broadly. And a really important topic for us to understand that every choice that we make about ingredients that go into our pet foods requires a balance of different considerations. So maybe to get started, I introduced you a little bit, but would you mind giving a little bit more of a background of what you did before you arrived at Corbion?
Before I arrived at Corbion, I worked a lot with modeling tools and actually with pharma products and the industry, how to purify them and look at the best process and optimize it, and taking always a very mathematical and modeling approach.
Oh, fantastic. I might talk a little bit more about where you can apply some of those during our podcast.
Corbion's Algaprime DHA P3, the algae-based omega-3 DHA to boost brain, cognition, immune system, and well-being. Adding it to pet food is easier than ever. Cut out the middle fish and go straight to the natural source to enjoy all the benefits of omega-3 DHA. It's better for the planet with zero impact on the ocean and low carbon footprint, and it's easy to use. The highly concentrated biomass powder is suitable for multiple applications. Learn more at corbion.com.
Well, why don't we get it started with really kind of dimensionalizing what the challenges are for the pet food industry today, as it really pertains to sustainability and the provision of dietary fat and fatty acids.
So let's start with pets today and what do they mean for us. So pets are more and more a family member, that they are our best friends, and you really treat it as like one of us at home. So as such, we care about providing them healthy nutrition. We want our pets to enjoy their food, to live long, and to have a healthy life. pet owners, and such as myself, we do are more and more aware of climate and sustainability challenges. So what we are doing is that we reflect our needs into the pet's diet and we kind of mimic them. For example, if for pet owners who are vegetarian, they would like to have a more vegetarian or more plant-based diet for their pets. We are more and more aware about the nutritional needs of our diet, vitamins, omega-3, and we try to put that in our pets' nutrition as well. So nowadays, people have more and more pets. So I think over 800 million pets are now worldwide available. One in three households have a pet, and it's still growing like 2% per year. That means that with the pet population increasing and the human population increasing, there's an increased demand for food. I think something that at least I wasn't aware of until recently is that pets have very high nutritional needs, and that's especially in terms of energy and proteins. I work in sustainability, as you just said, so I always tend to look at environmental impacts, and I did look at environmental impacts of pet food. And what we now know is that more than 95% of the pet food is industrialized. So if you think about extruded dog food, if you think about a dog of about 10 kilos, the environmental impact of the nutrition of the 10 kilograms dog is 10% of a European adult per year. That's quite a lot. If you think about a human-made diet, like what you cook in your kitchen, maybe boil some chicken for your dog or for your cat, the impact really goes to 30 to 76% of human adults. So it is quite a lot.
That's the change when you add human-grade food to the diet is an additional 20%?
Yes, and you know why? Because the industrialized food is pretty much based on vegetable-based products, and it also uses the byproducts from the human food. So all that parts of the meat that we don't want to eat, it goes into the pet food.
Interesting.
And that always brings a lower carbon footprint or a lower environmental impact. If you think about pet food, 70 to 90% of the environmental impacts are really in the ingredients that you put in there. So if you want to make a difference, start there, right? Try to improve it. Go with vegetable ingredients. Go with byproducts. And that works for a large majority of it, right? The challenge, and that's a bit where Corbyn started to play a role, is that not all essential nutrients can be retrieved from these vegetable or byproduct streams. An important one that you already mentioned is the long chain omega-3s like EPA and DHA.
Absolutely. So that really ladders us into this next question. When we dimensionalize the products, and you've now mentioned the environmental impact of plant-based diets versus human-grade ingredient-based diets versus traditional kibble, great information there. And I think that we focus a lot of our efforts on sustainability around alternative proteins as an example, and you're really working on alternative oils. But within that realm, you are really focusing on a rich source of the N3, or what most people in the public would call them, omega-3 fatty acids. Would you mind commenting on how Corbion sees the importance of ALA, EPA, and DHA, which are all in the omega-3 family, and range in chain length, with ALA being shorter in chain length, EPA and DHA being longer, but most importantly, being the precursors for anti-inflammatory eicosanoids?
Yes, exactly. Well, that then starts omega-3 long chain, omega-3 like DHA, EPA, and YALA. They are all essential fatty acids for pets, actually for mammals in general. These needs depend also on the phase of life of the pet. Typically, YALA can be converted to EPA and DHA, but the conversion rates are not always the same depending on the species of the pet in itself. That's one aspect. But also the general health state of the animal. If you have seniors, infants during reproduction phase, if you are in inflammatory status, all these factors can influence the conversion of YALA to EPA and DHA. There's still some research ongoing, but it's, we can state that at certain phases of life and for specific pets, there is a need for supplementation. And why is omega-3 so important? So it's about overall health, cognition, immune system, that's super important for pets and, well, for all of us, cardiovascular health, and it also helps with skin and coat health. Yeah, and I think it's really vital for the brain development and the immune system for the infants.
I teach all the pet nutrition in the winter. I've just taken a look as we're kind of improving those and always thinking about a great way to disseminate this information. And the way that I've kind of boiled it down for the fatty acids for undergraduate students is there's times when animals are utilizing a lot of DHA and EPA. And that's growth or when there's an inflammatory condition. And so you always have to think about, well, are they going to be depositing these fatty acids into a tissue? That's one use of them. Or are they going to be using them as a precursor for something else? And you're absolutely right. We really need to think about them in development and in aging and then all those moments in between as well. So well put. So when we think about this, and I think that the pet food industry heavily relies on fish oil historically as a source of EPA and DHA, but algae and algae products, whether that's oil or algae meal, is an alternative. So would you mind talking a little bit about algae in general and a little bit about the history and how it landed in the pet food industry?
So why did we start using algae to produce omega-3, right? Let me phrase it differently. Actually, in nature, fatty acids, omega-3, they are actually produced by algae in the oceans. That's really the biggest source of the long chain omega-3s. What is happening and what we see in fish oil is that the algae, that they grow in the oceans, they accumulate these fatty acids, that they are consumed by the zooplankton and the phytoplankton, the pelagic small fish, that they eat it, and that's where they get their fatty acids from. If you want to have fish oil, we are going to fish using fishing vessels, the small fish from the ocean, and then you go to fish oil mills and you purify it, and that's what we use for decades in human and pet food nutrition. So at Corbin and with other research institutes, we thought, can we simplify it, right? And we like to state, can we cut the middle fish out of it? So, and that's actually what we are doing. So to simplify the full fish oil process, we get the microalgae, we grow them in fermenter, and you harvest the oil, as simple as that. And so you get exactly the same source, which is the microalgae, but we avoid all the fishing and all the biodiversity impacts that you have on the oceans.
Interesting. So you're growing them in fermenters, but they're not a fermented product right, or are they?
It is a fermentation process. As such, we grow them on sugar. So it's a heterotrophic algae-based process, so it's not what you're used to have on the light, but it's actually a fermentation process based on sugar.
Fascinating. I'm starting to believe that fermentation, and there's some great historical information on fermentation in general, but what a I think everybody underestimates how much actually comes as a product of fermentation, which is just fascinating to me in general. That's interesting. I didn't know that algae was grown through a process of fermentation. So now I can really understand how you're cutting out the middle fish, which also really impacts that supply chain in terms of its sustainability. So can you talk a little bit about all of the things that would impact the environment that you've removed by cutting out the middle fish? And I love that statement. I'm going to use it all the time.
Great. Thank you. If you have fish, I mean, I think it's quite clear, right? You are fishing, you overfish or not, but the oceans are overexploited. So you are really using a resource, which are the wild fish, which is limited by nature. And it's under pressure. It's climate change, it's overfishing impact. It's really under strain. So what do we do? So our factory is actually located in Brazil, in the state of São Paulo. And that's an area where sugarcane has been growing for decades, even longer, right? Maybe. We are really in the middle of the sugarcane. The sugarcane goes into the sugar mill that's just next to us. I don't know if you know how it works, but basically you make a juice out of the cane. The juice, you crystallize it and you make sugar out of it. And then you get a lot of woody material that we call bagasse. And that is a great source of energy. So from the sugarcane, we have the energy that is used for the sugar mill and for Corbion, for our algae plant. And we have the sugar that we use to grow the algae on. So if you think about the value chain of alga prime, it's pretty much linked to the sugarcane, really in this area of São Paulo. Of course, I can expect that you have questions about the sustainability of this sugar cane.
Absolutely. You already know the questions, so feel free. Keep going.
Different things we do there. So as Corbion, we really take seriously our value chain, and we have our cane code where we state all the requirements we have to our suppliers in terms of environment, but also in terms of social and human rights. And that is also something very important to consider. So we cover that with our sugarcane code. We do audit our suppliers, so we make sure that everything is according to what we ask them to do. And next to that, of course, there's a huge concern about land transformation, deforestation. So we also check using satellite images. We monitor that every year to make sure that no deforestation is happening in our value chain.
That's tremendous. And you didn't even mention the fact that there has been social sustainability issues with human rights in the fishing industry in the past. I'm not saying that they exist today, but certainly those have existed in the past as well. And so in terms of social sustainability, I think that's a metric that a lot of people don't think about. And certainly a little while ago, we had Caitlin Dudas on talking about sustainability as well, kind of more broadly. And she really honed in on the pillars of sustainability, which go far beyond just environmental or climate sustainability. So thank you for mentioning that as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And I really think, especially if you're outside of Europe or out US, you go to regions which might have more incidents, and we take them as seriously, right?
Absolutely. And thank you for being so responsible. I really love hearing about all the quality assurance in the sustainability world that everybody's working on. It's quite fascinating. So could you help the listener maybe understand a little bit more, you know, if we have people that are currently using fish oils, I think you've covered really nicely what the sustainability benefit of the products from Corbion are. But what about the key differences beyond that between algae-based omega-3s and traditional fish oils?
So let's start, the source is the same, right? We start always with microalgae at really the bottom of the value chain. When you talk about fish oil, you derive the oil from the pelagic, the oil fish that you just capture from the oceans. And I think here that there's a biodiversity issues, we talked about them. But I also would like to mention that there is a lot of demand from many industries. So it's by one hand the pet food industry that is growing, increasing the awareness to include omega-3 products. But it's also aquaculture and nutraceuticals, human nutrition. So it's really a demanding that coming from all these sides. And what we already see is that we start to see fish oil shortages or increases in prices of fish oil. And why is that? Because, I mean, there's biodiversity issues, and those lead to regulatory caps on the capture of fish for fish oil production. So there are actually caps from authorities that it's not possible to capture or produce more fish oil. And a way to move away and to get still your omega-3s to go to the algae-based. And I think in terms of supply chain, I just mentioned, we no longer use those limited resources, and we use cane sugar, and we do it responsibly. So that has differences in terms of environmental impacts, and I can elaborate more on that, of course. But basically, we stop using limited resources and you go to sugar-based products. What I think is also important to mention is the nutritional value, right? Is there any difference? And so far, we don't see that. So the pets and even the fish that take their omega-3 for microalgae sources, they have exactly the same bioavailability and the same functioning than from the fish oil.
Interesting. Can you also elaborate into how these two compare on a full life cycle analysis?
So life cycle assessment, it is really a methodology that we use at Corbion for all products we have for a long time. For those who don't know it, it really starts with all stages of the value chain, like the production of the sugarcane, the fertilizers that were included, the pesticides that were added, the harvesting, the meal process, and then our production at Corbion. So for all these steps, all energy, all natural resources, every water, everything is considered and it is quantified. And we look at environmental impacts, climate change. I mean, it's on the top of everybody's mind. But we also look at land use, water use, eutrophication. Well, here in the Netherlands, the nitrogen is quite a well-known issue, for example. And this is a process which is done with ISO standards. And also at European level, there are even specific rules for pet food. So it's really trying to have it as a quantifiable and scientific-based approach. So that's why we actually did it, right? Because what is best? Is it fish oil? Is it algae-based omega-3, how can we compare both? If you look at Alga Prime, our algae-based omega-3, how can we even improve it? Where are most of our impacts? Yeah, I think it's, if you want to improve anything, we always start by at least measuring it and looking at what makes a difference, where do you have the biggest impact. And that's really how we use it. So we got all this data for our Alga Prime. We know our processes, so we have all the data there. And something that I would like to mention here is also we work a lot with our suppliers. So when you talk about sustainability, when you want to have this kind of holistic improvements, no company can do it alone. So we talk with our suppliers a lot. We collaborate. We ask for data. We try to help them as well. And that's data that we use also for the LCN. On this collaboration perspective, think about the full value chain, right? We make this ingredient for the pet food. And this is the information that we also need to share with the pet food formulator companies, because if they want to understand the impact of their formulations, they need our data. So I told you about how to do an LCA, why we need to do it, and what could we conclude out of it, right? I think that the most remarkable finding we had is the carbon footprint of 1 kilogram of omega-3 produced via our algae fermentation is 30 to 40% lower than 1 kilogram of omega-3 from fish oil.
Significant impact.
It has a significant impact, and that's all because of the idea in itself of using microalgae and cutting the middle fish out. So it's a simplified value chain. And I think also at Corbion, because we do have the sugarcane production just next to the mill, and we have this full integration for sugar and energy. We use renewable energy. Sugarcane is a very efficient crop. So it's a bit of a combination of microalgae with process and the setup of production we have.
Excellent. Well, thank you. It really gives an option for the pet food industry. And I think particularly as well, you mentioned at the beginning how traditional kibble using byproducts and plant-based had a certain carbon footprint. But as we kind of move along, of course, there's a lot of changes to plant-based diets for dogs and cats. And I think it's really important to remind everyone, while you can have an appropriate ratio of 6 to 3 using only plant-based oils, you can't achieve a sufficient level of DHA and EPA in those for, as you mentioned earlier in the podcast too, diets that are focused on growth or diets that need to help mitigate some kind of inflammation. That can be senior diets, but it can also be diets for highly active animals or animals with skin and coat conditions. And so algal alternatives would be really appropriate as well for plant-based diets looking for a source of DHA. So not only using plant for environmental reasons, there's a lot of reasons why our pet owners would want to migrate to a plant-based diet. So I think this is a really great option. So with that, if a pet food company wanted to start to evaluate possibly using an algal-based product in their food to offset their carbon footprint or to consider moving away from animal-based oils, how would you suggest they consider adopting this?
Well, just send an email or drop a line. So we are always open for these collaborations. And that's really the way we like to work with our customers and with the pet formulators, that we work together on finding a solution.
Great. Can they find that out from, I'm assuming, your website?
Yes, they can find it on the website. Actually, if you really want to understand more about the LCA of the Alga Prime, there is article published in the Algal Research Journal from 2021. You can also just look at it and go to the website, and someone will respond. That's all I can tell you.
Great, fantastic. Well, I encourage everybody, if you're considering improving the sustainability of your entire product, that this might be one of those considerations.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
ICC Animal Nutrition, adding value to nutrition. Trow Nutrition, the science of ingredients, nutrition, and blending. Kemin Nutrisurance is your pet food and rendering partner every step of the way.
Trusted ingredients, proven performance. Wilbur Ellis Nutrition, we partner with a purpose.
ICC Animal Nutrition, a Brazilian company with 30 years of history and present in more than 70 different countries, providing natural, sustainable, and technological solutions for animal nutrition, health, and well-being in a safe and scientific way, adding value in food production and helping to feed the world.
Anna, thank you for going through algal protein or algal ingredients with us today. Sorry, I'm a protein person. Occasionally that word just slides in everywhere. But I have a couple last questions not associated with algal products that I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
So the first is, I'd really, as a accomplished woman in industry, I was wondering if you had any advice for young women that are starting out in the food or feed ingredient industry with some great advice.
I would start by saying, follow your passion, follow your heart, and really believe in yourself. Do your preparation work. And it will be fine. Get your homework then and trust yourself, basically.
Excellent. And second, cats or dogs, which one do you prefer?
I think I do have two children at home. The kids would love dogs. My husband would love a cat. We have an hamster.
We need to diversify. There's a lot of pets out there. I think hamsters are fantastic pets. They're quite entertaining, aren't they?
They are lovely, and they are also, I mean, from my personal lifestyle, they are low maintenance, and you can cuddle them. They are active. They're just fun.
Oh, excellent. Well, with that, Anna, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today. For the listeners, if you have any questions about algal products, visit the Corbion website. And with that, Anna, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. And thank you very much for the invite and to have me here with you, Kate. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent from Brazil without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.